Everyone, welcome back to The Professional Church Worker. I'm Luke, and this is
Tyler.
And we're glad to have you here joining us for our little video series. Today we're going to be starting kind of a series of talking about the call process.
Yeah, and what that looks like and going through it. We've both been through it a few times. Mm-hmm. Well, probably a little bit more than a few times. And not accepting a call.
Right.
There's steps.
Right.
And most of you know that. I guess this might be targeting people going into their first or second call for things to look for.
Or if you've been at a call for decades.
Yes.
And you've not done it recently.
Yep. So. And because we also talked about like the first year in ministry.
Right.
Well, this is before you can have that first year.
Absolutely.
This is really important. So one quick fun thing I'll note is we're wearing different outfits finally. But we're going to be wearing these ones for a couple videos. So we try to form four videos at a time we meet, and we haven't met in a while, but we're excited to bring more to you. So let's start with this. The focus on this one will be what happens leading up to receiving a call.
Yeah.
And then the next show will be, once you receive a call, mm-hmm. what are healthy, smart practices? None of what we're sharing with you is hard and fast.
Agreed.
They're good practices.
Agreed.
Could we say best practices?
Huh? We could.
All right, Luke, why don't you start us out?
Sure. So as Tyler was saying, this is like, you've gotten a phone call, maybe an email from a congregation. My pastor likes to call it the nibble. Okay. You know, they've maybe gotten your name from a district or from another church worker that knows mm-hmm. you. And they think maybe you would be a good fit. And they're starting out their call process. Now, I just thought of this. It may be their first round, or this may be, you know, they've already extended calls, and you know, this is the third round or something like
you
that.
You could be like their fourth choice, which I was. So, but they said I was their first fourth choice, which it all makes sense. We'll unpack it someday.
Yeah. So the first thing we want to note is when you get that phone call or that email from, it might be a pastor or another worker at that congregation. It might be the head of the call committee or the president of the congregation mm-hmm. Reaching out to say, hi, your name. We are currently looking for this position and we received your name. Would you be interested? Would you be open to interviewing, talking to us about the position and seeing if it's possibly a fit and the way God's leading? At that point, you have no obligation to let anyone know that.
No.
At a certain point in this process, you do have to let people know. But at this point, you don't necessarily have to let people know. Mm-hmm. However,
it is smart to, especially if you're working with a healthy leadership. It's good to say, hey, pastor, want to let you know this church reached out. They're interested in having a conversation with me or adding me to their call list or their interview list for the call. Now, I there is a caveat of if you're just going to say no, which we're going to unpack that a little bit, you don't even need to tell your, you don't need to tell anyone. You can just say no. Like, I don't want to be pursued. You can do that. Then you don't really need to tell anyone, and then it's just done, and whatever you email done.
Right.
That's fine. Yeah. But if it is something that we would encourage you to prayerfully think through, which is a good thing. A gentleman, a mentor of mine, Bo Chapman. Many people know Bo. Yeah. He said you never don't interview. He told me that. He said, even if you are set, even if your wife's pregnant, even if he kind of threw the sink at me. It's like, Tyler, just see what the Holy Spirit's going to do in that situation. Right now, my wife will divorce me if I take a call.
Because I hope he's joking.
Yeah, but I think right now we're not open to any call. And we're here. We've done a lot of transition. We just need to put down roots for a bit. And so we're going to get into that. What does your information say about you? Yeah. If that makes sense.
Yeah,
absolutely. So regionally, maybe I would consider not having to move and do it. We have a lot of family who've moved to this area for us. So that's a whole nother thing. But when you get this little email, this little phone call, whatever it is, you don't have to do anything, but it would be good to tell your leadership if you fully plan on having a conversation, having at least the initial interview. Say, hey, Pastor, this church wants to interview me. You know, they should understand the call process and be like, all right, hey, blessings.
Right.
But they also shouldn't hopefully tell anyone else.
Right.
It can raise.
I was going to say, that's the flip side, is you don't want to go to your congregation at that point. Mm. Every single time you get a phone call saying, you know, hey, are you interested?
Yeah.
And try and use that to, I don't know, raise your stature to them or something.
Value.
I don't know. Unfortunately, I have seen church workers do that. And that's not healthy. Because you're keeping your congregation like on the edge of their seat. Like when are they leaving? When are they gonna leave? I mean, what do we need to do? And that's not healthy.
Not at all. So you got the call.
The
phone call, right. Sorry. And then you are deciding to interview. You're gonna interview. We're at this stage. You're saying, you know what? I think Luke and I both would encourage you to interview regardless. Be transparent with them. If you're like me and being like, yeah, I'm not moving. Like, or I have a daughter, a senior year in high school. We've moved 3 times in 8 years. I promised my wife, this isn't happening. I'm in a unique situation where I left church work and then a local church called me. And so it was kind of like, well, I guess I can, we don't have to move, you know, which is really, really unique situation, a blessing. Definitely the most I've kind of felt God at hand in that process. I'm not saying God's not at hand, but this was very, very God at hand. I still live in the same house I lived in, 2 years ago when I didn't have a call. And we do want to move a little bit closer, but it's 20 minutes.
Yeah.
So
sometimes God cracks the window open. Sometimes he sets the garage on fire.
Exactly.
Too soon? Yeah, is that?
So something I'm doing real quick is putting our timer up. We forgot to do that. So, Luke, do you want to continue with?
Sure.
You are going to interview.
Yeah. So, you know, as Tyler has said, and as Bo has said, and as my pastor tells me, you know, I've heard it over and over and over again. Even if, you know, your situation is such that, like, you really doubt you're going to be taking a call and moving right now, the interview process is powerful, and there's so much learning that can happen about ourselves through it, as well as the congregation can learn through the call process. So highly, highly encourage that, especially that initial interview.
Yeah, and I interviewed with 1-2-3 churches that all, I got further in the process. And this is when we were open to a call, but they were all really far away from where we wanted to be and where we felt we needed to be with our kids and our support from our family. And they all offered to fly me out and all that. And we ended up returning, they didn't call me, but saying, I need to remove my name.
Sure.
We prayed through it. We know that even if you extend a call, this ministry sounds amazing, but we wouldn't be able to pour our hearts into it without having the community of support at this time that we need. But going through the call practice was, or the call, the interview process, man, did it feel good.
Yeah.
Especially when they're excited about you.
Yeah.
And they see potential in what you're doing. It energized me in my current call.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I felt very validated in what I was doing. I think when we're at a congregation for a bit, we feel less validated because people are just used to what you're doing and that's what Tyler does. And yeah, what is Tyler doing? Because kids graduate out and then they're not focused in the ministry, mm-hmm. like whatever. And so it kind of lit a fire under me, all of those ones. I mean, man, three churches want to fly me out? What? Like, why is that? And it felt amazing. And sometimes we still think, man, that would be an awesome church if we could just move the location, right?
Sure.
But it really, and my wife, she was a part of one or two of the interviews as well. Hmm. We got kind of that far.
Yeah, yeah.
And she's like, man, they love you. Like, and don't get me wrong, it's off converse. You can make yourself look really good, which we're going to talk mm-hmm. about that part of yep. the interview process is you don't want to sell yourself too hard.
Right. Right.
Why wouldn't we do that?
I mean, honesty is key throughout this, you know, whether it's, listen, you know, thank you so much for the first interview, maybe even the second interview. And like Tyler and Shannon, you're like, you know what? We know this isn't happening. And that's okay to let them know that at that point, especially before the call is issued. I mean, I think most congregations would appreciate that
yep.
as they're still deliberating. But then, you know, when you are interviewing and they're asking questions about your ministry, about you personally, about, you know, your ideals, your experience, you want to, be absolutely honest. Mm-hmm. You want to, I mean, it's so cliche, but be yourself. But really, you know, be yourself. Don't try to, you know, write up that resume with three other languages that you don't yeah. actually speak or I have overseas mission experience when you've been on, you know, one overseas.
Or you read a book on it.
Yeah. And you weren't even the leader, you yeah, know, you yeah, just yeah, went yeah, along. Yeah. Because they very well may be expecting you to step in
yeah.
and be that leader. You want to be in the right position. And you should want that congregation to have the right person in that position.
And you don't want to try to answer their questions right.
Mm.
And that's how you want to answer their questions on how you would do ministry, not how you think they want you to do ministry. And the reason we say that is like Luke said, is they can call you and then you come in and do ministry the way you want to do ministry, but maybe you told them you would do these other things. Yeah. When you're not doing it, even if you're doing phenomenal ministry, yeah. they already have this, I don't want to say expectation, but view of how you do ministry. Right. And the reason I'll say, and Luke, you can agree or disagree with me on this, but like I have been in call situations where I was really ready to take a call.
Yeah.
Really ready to transition where I was, whether it was good or bad, knew I had to leave or knew I whatever we want to get into that. And so sometimes there's an urgency of anywhere is better than here. Or anywhere like, I finally got a church interested in me. I got to keep them. And so like you do want to share yourself in a flattering light, but you need to do it in a way that is solely you.
Yeah.
And my most freeing one ever was when I interviewed to come to St. Paul. I just said, this is how I do ministry. This is my view. This is why I do it that way. Mm-hmm. And I know some people aren't comfortable with that. And I said, if you guys like it kind of this other ways churches do it, said, I'm not your guy. I said, I don't even know if I'm interested in getting back into ministry. But if I did, this is how I do it.
Yeah.
And so to set yourself up for success
absolutely.
And know that they got the right person, I think is huge. And so So there's that. Also with what Luke said about letting them know before they issue a call, if you're not interested. You know, one congregation, I had three churches kind of right about to call me, and I knew they were going to call me. They just had to vote on it. And I hate to say, but usually if you know they're voting on it and you're there, the one they're throwing up there, usually, I'm not going to say.
I did have one that the pastor, the call committee, they were all like, yeah, you're our guy. We're going to extend the call. And then they called me, you know, the afternoon after the call meeting and said, yeah, we've decided to go a whole different direction. We're actually going to be extending two calls, and we're changing the positions. Okay, and like, whoa, that's a you know, gear shift.
Yeah.
But as you were saying,
it's not common.
Not common.
Normally they're like, hey, we're like Trinity Utica, when they called me, they said, hey, you're our guy. All three pastors are recommending you. Churches never voted against pastors. Okay. So like, they're like, get back from Africa. I was in Africa at the time. Whole nother story. But these three churches that were about to call me, I knew they were. Two of them, my wife and I had already kind of decided on, we really felt called to the one. Hmm. So the other two we reached out to and said, one had called us, and I called them and I said, hey, we're returning the call before I even got the call package, because I didn't want to look at the package and see the financials and see all this stuff to cloud my view on knowing that that church was not the right fit for me. Sure. But it's like, but man, they pay way more than these other churches. Sure. Like, so that's, and pay is part of it. Pay is very important.
Yeah.
And you're not necessarily negotiating it, but it's important to consider. But I would say, but this other church I reached out and I said, hey, I want to let you know, it was a church in Minnesota. Awesome church, amazing ministry. I think I could have thrived there as well. Like, I do feel like God would have used me really well there. And sometimes I think that's the church I should have went to. But God worked through the church I was at, and some amazing stuff happened. But I let them know, and they were voting on me that Sunday. Mm. So then they withheld the vote. And so, but that's still better than vote. You know what I mean? Like, they didn't have to vote then, and they had to kind of go back to the drawing board. But I gave it due diligence. I prayed through it. That one I flew out to and visited. And so as you be as transparent as possible, but as soon as you feel not led to a congregation for any reason, let them know as soon as possible.
Right. Absolutely.
Before a call is issued.
Absolutely.
Anything else about this getting contacted?
Yeah, I would say, you know, the process may look different from congregation and call to call. You know, sometimes, and Tyler, I think you've had this experience where there's been one interview and next thing you know, they're extending you a call. That's pretty rare. I think it's usually at least a couple interviews.
And it was a little red flaggy too.
Sure.
I'll be honest. To get a call after a 45 minute phone interview.
Yeah.
That's kind of old school. That's how you see that a little bit more down with senior pastors, not with the 45 minute interview, but the call before the visit.
Yeah.
That happens, I think, sometimes more. But yeah, I got a call. I was surprised. I was waiting for them to say, hey, come out and visit. We want you to see the site. We want you to look at the city, check the housing market. Like, that's stuff to consider.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
that's all stuff I think we'll talk about in the call process itself. But it varies on whether they bring you on site for an interview and a visit during that process. But it does happen.
Have you been asked to come on site for some interviews?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. I think we both have.
Yeah.
I think that's I don't want to say that's the most common, but that's pretty common.
I think so. I think it really depends on how, you know, close it is, how big the congregation is. You know, if it's a smaller congregation and they have a smaller budget, if they're flying multiple people on just for the interview.
Well, I think they have to be pretty serious about you, right? So,
agreed.
Like, I had the two churches in Texas wanted to fly me out. That was super funny. It was within 2 weeks of each other. No, it was like the same week that I was interviewing with both of them, and they were half hour apart. So it was like, can I fly out and interview?
Right.
So that was interesting. Church in California, and then the one in Minnesota flew me out. So those churches were all very interested, right? Trinity Utica flew me out, but I chose to drive instead because I visited friends on the way. But yeah, and those were all bigger churches, yeah, for sure, and financially maybe in a better place. Right. But that's another thing Bo Chapman told me, you always visit. Oh, never turn down a visit. And I turned down 3 visits. So I'm sorry, Bo, if you ever watch this. He's now a professor at the Lutheran High School in Las Vegas. I forgot the name of it.
I was just there. But that's for us matter to talk,
yeah,
about.
Sorry. So yes, you'll get calls, and you'll get asked to visit before a call, and sometimes you'll just do 3-4 interviews,
yep,
and then they'll call you. Usually, a call committee communicates pretty well with you, mm-hmm, on where they're at, what they're doing. They'll be like, "Oh, you're a final 3. We want to bring you back and ask deeper questions." Mm-hmm. Here at St. Paul, they brought me in. And I visited with just the staff to see them and the pastors and other professional church workers and principal and stuff like that. And they kind of signed off on me. They weren't a part of the call process, mm-hmm, per se, but they were like, "Oh yeah, we like this guy."
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Sometimes it'll be, about a month maybe.
Yeah.
Other times it'll be 6 months.
Oh, 6 months, yeah.
I'd
say a month is like the quickest it could be.
I think so. Yeah, agree. Yeah. Because they have to, you know, they get the lists, they have to do interviews, mm-hmm, and a month, that might be one of the, did one interview and we're extending the call.
Yeah. But some call committees are on it and they're like, we're going to meet every week and we're going to get through this and we're going to, hey, we want to interview you. Okay, we're going to interview you in 2 weeks because we got through the list and we like you and...
I was working with a congregation recently that their church workers stepped down for family reasons.
And so
some volunteers stepped up for about a month. They got a call committee together. And when they were talking to me, it had been about 5 months since that church worker had stepped down. And they had extended 2 calls, that were returned. But they were motivated, I think, as you're saying, Tyler, try and get someone.
And usually when a church worker leaves a congregation for whatever reason, mm-hmm, if it's another congregation or family reasons or whatever, that church usually takes time to assess that position,
right,
and be like, is this what we still need? Or maybe we give some of that responsibility to someone else and create a new position. Do we want a youth person, or maybe we want a family person, or maybe we want whatever? I have a friend who's did youth, but now he's stepping into like administration at the church because he's really gifted in that area. And so now they're looking for maybe a pastor who would focus more on youth and stuff. So it's every church is so unique and so different. We're running out of time. Can I close with one last thought on this?
Please.
CMIFs.
Yep.
If you don't know, it's a document that you'll fill out. Do you fill it out in college? I don't even remember.
I think generally they have you do it. Well, you know what? I'm not sure. It's been so long. I think most do at graduation. So it might be right before graduation.
Okay. It's a synopsis of what's that? Oh, fun. Oh, that's our timer, guys. Wow, look at we are on it. Oh, I forgot it's on my computer. So we'll wrap this up, but CMIF document, it pretty much is like your DNA of ministry, your belief in ministry. Now, if you're currently in a call, it also says your experiences, mm-hmm, in ministry, but also it'll say, what is your view on Lutheran doctrine? Really interesting question, mm-hmm, to be in there. And I was brutally honest in mine. I said, I'm about making Christians through using Lutheran theology, but I would rather lose a believer to another denomination than to the kingdom altogether. And so that's kind of saying, like, I'm going to use Lutheran theology because that's my heart, but I'm not going to fall on that sword. If I have a kid struggling with infant baptism and he's about to walk away from the faith, I might plug him into another congregation. I've never had to do this, but I might plug him into something to be like, all right, if that's his line in the sand, I want him in the kingdom. I don't want him to walk away from the kingdom. So kind of, you want to be honest because you want a congregation that understands your moral, your core values.
Yeah.
And as LCMS Lutherans, we all have the same theology, but we have different ways of going about it. Yeah. And some churches wouldn't want someone like me. Some churches wouldn't want someone like Luke because he doesn't have hair.
Right.
But you want to make sure that you're partnered with a congregation, with a call committee, with a pastor, that reads your information and is like, yes, or nope.
Yep.
I put some stuff in mine where there are certain churches I want to say nope, because it wouldn't be a healthy place for me to work.
Yeah.
Ministries, beautiful ministries have in both places, but my type of ministry doesn't fit in that type.
Right.
So
exactly.
All right. That's what we got for now. We're going to follow this up with a video on after you receive the call. And I'm sure we missed a bunch of stuff, but we're just a couple of dudes.
Yeah. Reach out to us.
All right.
Ask us.
Thank you for joining us today. I'm the Professional Church Worker. I hope you have a blessed evening, afternoon, morning, whenever you're watching this.